Hey everybody, welcome back to the Pub Trivia Experience. My name is Chris, and we are gathered here tonight for the first of the many trials of Mike Mott. Our first challenger is strapped into the hot seat. Prongs, hot prongs, heated prongs aimed directly at his bare flesh. Let's meet him first from the Quad Cities area. Brian Nash, my friend, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing fan-fucking-tastic. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way first.
There's the explosive tag right off the bat. Gotta love it.
Might as well. I'm doing great. Just wrapped up this last weekend. We had a game convention locally, and I completely blew out my voice and could not talk by the end of the day on Sunday. But I'm pretty much recovered at this point.
Enough about the kinky sex. How was the game convention?
No, I blew out my voice from all the yelling and talking because,
as I said, kinky sex, keep going.
God damn it. Anyway, tonight I am drinking from Left Hand Brewing Company, which I have always loved. They make some good stuff. I grabbed one of their seasonals just based on what it's called because I've never had a French toast milk stout, but I'm going to have one tonight.
Oh. That sounds wonderful.
Uh-huh. Oh, God, yes.
Oh,
I'm getting the syrup. That little hint of cinnamon in there. Yeah, this is going to be a wonderful. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy that a lot.
I really wish this wasn't just an audio medium because I wish that our listeners could have seen the expression on your face as that first sip kind of sank in and you were like, oh yeah,
this uh-huh. is bad. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh my Lord. Well, you heard him. Let's meet him. Mike, my friend, how are you doing? What are you drinking?
Chris, I'm doing great. speaking of things that, contrary to what you would say, did not involve kinky sex, I had a weird dream last night. I had a dream about Jennifer Lopez, but again, if you're going to have a dream about Jennifer Lopez, you want it to.
Jennifer Lopez.
Brian's sitting over here moving his hand like the South Park episode. Again, I really genuinely wish this was a visual medium and not just audio. I
Jennifer
totally
Lopez.
Lost my train of thought. The best part is we haven't even begun. I've had one drink tonight. Like, this is crazy.
I've had two sips total.
Yeah. After that, the story about the dream is kind of boring. It was just like, if I'm gonna dream about Jennifer Lopez, I would want it to involve sex in some variety. Instead, for some reason, I won a raffle to meet her, but she couldn't make it. So I ended up playing cards with her grandmother and finding out that her grandmother cheated at cards. And it wasn't in like a mansion or anything too. It was as if she was still living and she was still Jenny on the block and just like living in a random apartment or something like that. Anyway, I don't know why that was my random story that I wanted to tell. You can edit all that shit out except for the part where we crack up laughing because that's hilarious.
Well, this has been a great episode, everyone. We'll see you next time. Yeah. Until then, have a good one.
Oh my Lord.
All right. Well,
anyway, as far as drinks are concerned, I actually am very excited about this tasty beverage. It is called the Crustacean Crusher, and it is a double India Pale Ale brewed with lobster.
Really?
It's a collaboration between the Abomination Brewing Company and the High Roller Lobster Company. Abomination is out of your neck of the woods, Chris, or your birth neck of the woods anyway, North Haven, Connecticut. Which I guess you'd expect if they're collaborating with a lobster company. Anyway, let's see how this is. I'm very intrigued to try it, though. It's a very, very good IPA. I'm trying to see if I can detect at all the lobster aspect of it. But as I mentioned before the show, Brian, I buy all my beers based on the label.
Uh-huh.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a zombie eating a lobster is the label. So it's very cool.
Well, I guess it's my turn. So I got myself a glass here. I'm mixing my second drink right now. So, I got myself we'll call it a Liguori cocktail. It's nothing special. It's nothing fancy. It is ginger, Canada Dry Zero Sugar, It is Woodford Reserve, standard Woodford Reserve bourbon. And we're going to pour that on the top. And at the very, very bottom, giving it its beautiful dark cherry flavor, is cherry juice. I ordinarily throw a little cherry in there. And salute. Cheers.
Cheers.
Nostrovia.
It is going to be a good night. We're going to get this started. This is a standard hot seat head-to-head. It's going to be Brian versus Mike. And we're going to kick things off with our pregame. Now, Brian, you are the new, not the newbie here. You've been here before. Act like it. But you're the one that's been on here the fewest amount of times. So you tell me, do you want odds or evens for the pregame?
I'm going to take odds because I can't even.
Oh, my God. As if. All right, Brian, you're going to take odds. You're going to be going first. And this is a simple pregame of what came first. I have got a list of games slash kids things that we might remember from our childhoods. Our grandparents might remember from their childhoods. I'm going to give you two. You just got to tell me which one of these came first.
Okay. And
Brian, you decided to take odds. So your first one is going to be, which came first, the Nintendo GameCube or Silly Bands?
It would probably help if I even knew what the hell Silly Bands exactly were.
Thank you.
But I do have a pretty good idea on when the GameCube was released. And I'm going to guess Silly Bands came first.
Silly Bands, if I'm not mistaken, they are like the specialized rubber bands that came like the shape of like animals and dinosaurs and shit.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
I was way off.
Silly Bands, the brand, came around in 2002. The GameCube released in 2001.
Yep.
No points for Brian. Mike, which came first, Hatchimals or Razor Scooters?
My kids have some Hatchimals. They love themselves some Hatchimals. I feel like that's a pretty recent thing. I feel like Razor Scooters have got to predate them. So I'm going to say Razor Scooters.
You are correct. Razor Scooters came back in the year 2000. Hatchimals 2016.
Damn. I get a 1 year difference and he gets 16 years?
I was just
He does. You had the option of odds or even, sir.
Fair.
All right. Also, for those that are you know, fans of mine, the three of you, 2016 also either Cubs won the World Series.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it was a damn good year. We haven't had a good year since, I don't think.
The world goes to hell in a handbasket, but we got a ring, so we're going to take it.
Yeah.
Brian, what came first, My Little Pony or Trivial Pursuit?
Okay, Trivial Pursuit came out in 84 because we had the first edition of it and we played it around the kitchen table. My Little Pony, I think it was pretty big when it first came out. It did. I don't think it came out that early. Trivial Pursuit, I think, was first.
Trivial Pursuit was not 1984.
Really?
Trivial Pursuit's first edition launched in 1981.
Well, shit.
It was still before My Little Pony in 1982, so you're getting the point.
Oh, thank God.
Trivial Pursuit is like, to me, like Haley's Comet was to Mark Twain. We came in together. We must go out together.
Okay. Mike, you're going next, and you're going to get Mr. Potato Head or Yahtzee?
Ooh. Mr. Potato Head, if memory serves, was like legitimately the first toy commercial or something like that. And it was literally
later in the game.
I think it just literally came with the pieces and you had to supply your own potato. But that was like the 50s. That's pretty old. I gotta believe that predates Yahtzee, so I'm gonna say Mr. Potato Head.
Well, Mike, Yahtzee came out in 1956.
So it's close.
It's just dice in a cup.
It's true.
Mr. Potato was 52. You get the points.
I was like, Mr. Potato was 50s too. I'm pretty sure. So let's see.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
It was. All right. Brian, which came first, the Furby or the Leap Pad?
Well, I know the NSA banned Furbies for being a recording device. Leap pads, I feel, were later, so I'm going to guess without confidence, Furbies.
So the Leap Pad came out or debuted in 1999. The Furby, 1998. That is a correct answer. Brian's got the point.
That's three in a row that have been 1 year off, Brian. You're getting tough ones.
Yeah. If only I got one that was like 16 years apart or something.
I know.
No. I mean, y'all can keep bitching and moaning. I'll just shut this stuff down right now. Mike, back to you. What came first? The Easy Bake Oven or the Light Bright?
When I think of the Light Bright, I think of an eight as an 80s thing. When I think of the Easy Bake Oven, I think of it as earlier than that. So I'm going to say Easy Bake Oven.
You might think of it as an 80s thing, Mike. The Light Bright was 1967.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Easy Bake Oven was 63. You're still getting the point.
Yeah, both of them were a lot earlier than that.
Three straight that my logic has been wrong, and yet I've gotten it right, so I'll take it.
All right, Brian.
Hey, however it works, man.
Brian, which came first, Barbie or Hot Wheels?
All right. Barbie was early to mid-50s. I saw the movie. I wasn't actually there for it. I'm not that fucking old.
Wow.
Hot Wheels... I think Hot Wheels didn't actually debut until the 60s, so I'm going to go Barbie.
Yeah, your logic is right on there. Barbie, late 50s, Hot Wheels, 1968. Brian's picking up the points. Mike, what came first? Chinese checkers or Crayola crayons?
Oh, this is a tough one. I don't have a really sound logic way of getting there. I'm just going to have to do a gut shot. And I feel like for whatever reason, Chinese checkers is what I'm going to go with. I don't have any thunder behind it.
Mike, Crayola crayons were back in 1903.
Oh, shit.
Chinese checkers was 1892. You're getting the point.
I figured they both had to be pretty damn old.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were that old, though. Holy cow.
All right, Brian, What came first? Lincoln Logs or Monopoly?
I want to say Monopoly was like the 1930s. Lincoln Logs. Damn, that's good. I think Lincoln Logs were later. So I'm going to go. Yeah. Wait, it was Lincoln Logs versus. Wait. Lincoln Logs and what the hell was the other one?
Monopoly.
Thank you. Monopoly.
Monopoly, you're right. Monopoly was 1935. You were wrong on the year, though, because Lincoln Logs are all the way back in 1916.
Wow.
That is your major difference question.
That's 16 years.
All right, Mike, what came first? The iPod Touch or the Microsoft Zune?
Ooh. Let's see. I mean, I know the Zune was after the original iPod, but when did the iPod Touch come out? I'm going to say the Zune came out first. Yeah, I'm going to say the Zune came out first.
The iPod Touch came out in 2007. The Zune debuted in 2006. You just swept the pregame.
Nice.
A score of 5-3. As we head into hot seat round one, the hot seat rounds are 15 minutes each of a nonstop barrage of endless trivia questions and answers. Each contestant will be given an appropriate amount of time to answer the question. If they don't answer the question in a time that the host deems appropriate, they'll be asked to answer or forfeit the question. It is general knowledge tonight, gentlemen. This could go any direction that you want. If we do have, at the end of the day, a unfair amount of questions at the end of hot seat round one, hot seat round two, we'll make sure we even out. Brian, you are currently trailing going into hot seat round one. Do you want to go first or second?
I went first time. I'll go second time.
All right. Before we jump in, I am down 2 drinks so far.
Man works fast.
Now onto my second can of Canada Dry Zero Sugar. Healthy pour of that. There goes the Woodford Reserve. Actually, there goes the last of my Woodford. All right. And let's just throw some cherry juice in there. This makes excellent podcasting.
I was just thinking that. I was like,
is this going to get cut out?
This is like some ASMR type of shit where he's like clinking glasses and doing everything.
Because if this is getting cut out, awesome. If it's not getting cut out, let me go ahead and get my second one open too, because this one, I really love the name.
Well, now we have to keep all this in. Brian, go right ahead.
Well, I mean, we can, you know, do a... you can put in your break and we could... Whatever, man.
Post-production is a wonderful thing. Let's just leave it at that.
The less editing we have to do, the better, right? Okay. So this one is coming from... a full-fledged brewing company based out of Council Bluffs, Iowa. This is their Hazy Session IPA, coming in at only 5.0 alcohol per ABV, but the title of it is Floyd the Barbarian.
Ha ha! Love it.
And I went, awesome. I must have Floyd the Barbarian. So there we go.
There you go. Cheers. All right. We're going to jump right into this. Brian, you said you wanted to go second. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, Mike, that means you're going to go first. 15 minutes on the clock. The time will begin after I read your first question. Here we go. Mike.
Yes, sir.
The White Star Line was feeling anxious in 1907, but the progress of their chief rival, the Cunard Company. As a result, they commissioned a British-built transportation vehicle set to replace the 1890 RMS Majestic. What was the name of this vehicle?
Given that time frame, I'm going to say maybe it was the Titanic.
It was the Titanic. That is correct. Brian. Bart runs half-heartedly for class president, and Homer runs more seriously for Springfield Sanitation Commissioner in various episodes of what long-running sitcom?
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons is correct. Mike. In his satirical essay, A Modest Proposal, Jonathan Swift proposed that Ireland's poor do what with their children?
Eat them.
I have sell them to be eaten.
Yeah, that's probably true. Okay. I just knew it involved eating children.
I will mark that. I will not give you the points.
I would give him the points on that.
All right. Brian's a benevolent overlord. That. The point is given to Mike, and we are moving along.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember that. It's been so long since I've read it. I've eaten. It's been so long since I've eaten our babies.
So after a quick review, we did find out that 100% it was supposed to be sell them to be eaten by the rich. But Brian made the call. We gave Mike the point anyway. Brian, which Powhatan Native American woman changed her name to Rebecca Rolfe and married a Jamestown colonist?
Was that Pocahontas?
That was Pocahontas. That is correct.
Nicely done.
Mike, the Magna Carta was crafted in England and approved by King John in which century?
Let's see. I think it was like 1235, so that'd be the 13th century.
1215, but the 13th century is correct.
I knew it was 12-something-5.
Brian, which South American country was home to the marmalade-loving Paddington Bear before he moved to London?
Wildest Peru.
Peru is correct. Mike, we're going over to you. In a nod to the bird depicted on its face, the dollar coin of Canada is affectionately known as what?
The loonie, I believe.
Loonie is a correct answer. Brian, in which Scandinavian country is the 13-foot-high Norwegian spruce that's the oldest tree on Earth, having seen over 9,000 birthdays?
This sounds like a trick question, Chris. Which Scandinavian country has the Norwegian spruce? All right, now I need to decide, is Chris messing with me? Or is the answer that damn obvious? going to say Norway and be mad if I'm wrong.
It's Sweden.
Son of a bitch.
This is how the Norwegian spruce doesn't mean it's the only place that it is.
I know.
It's funny, Brad, because I was sitting here going, okay, in this situation, would I go Norway or Sweden? That was where the two I was between. So I wasn't sure, though.
I know that you know that I know that you know that I know.
Yep.
God damn it.
Geography, I know you yep. know I'm not telling the truth. Mike, we're going over to you. Which planet in our solar system is the hottest?
Venus.
I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. I am your desire, Mike, but we're going back to Brian. Brian, in a 1970 hit song, in a 1970 hit song, James Taylor sings, I've seen fire and I've seen what?
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Seen sunny days that I thought would never end.
Everyone okay if we just let Brian sing the rest of the episode? We only do one
trivia? Absolutely.
Rain is a correct answer. If he was if he wrote that song in 2016, he was at I've Seen Fire and I've Seen Hell Froze Over because the Cubs won the series. Mike, we're going back to you. It's never going to get old, guys. I'm still celebrating. In the novel A Tale of Two Cities, Madame Defarge spends most of her time doing what?
She's knitting. Do I need to be more specific?
Nope. Knitting is all I need. Good job. Brian, what sea is located on the border of Israel and Jordan?
My geography in that region is not very strong, especially when it comes to bodies of water. Is it the Sea of Jordan?
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
It's not, it's the Dead Sea.
It is the Dead Sea. Damn it.
Mike, essentially doubling the size of the United States, what president was currently in office during the Louisiana Purchase?
That was under Jefferson.
That was under Jefferson. That is correct. Despite he didn't believe in expansion. But hey, we're not going to talk about
I know.
We're not going to talk about political ideology in there. Never mind. We're not doing that. Brian, in what U.S. state is the famous Area 51 located?
Well, they shot at me when I Naruto runned at it back in 2019 or 2020, whenever that was. Pretty sure that's in Roswell, New Mexico.
I'm sorry, Brian. Area 51 is actually in Nevada.
Son of a crap.
Mike.
Yes.
Who starred along Jim Carrey's Lloyd in the film Dumb and Dumber?
Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels is a correct answer.
I just had to make sure I didn't say Jeff Bridges by mistake.
Been there more times than I want to admit. Yeah. Brian, which battle scene from a 1998 film was shot on the Irish coast with 2,500 Irish Reserve Army troops recruited to reenact the famous landing?
You said 1998?
Yeah, we're looking for the film it was in, if that question wasn't clear.
Right, but you said the year was 1998?
Correct.
Now you've got me scared here, but I'm second guessing myself, and I'm going to go ahead and say Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan's a correct answer. Mike, which famous adventurous chef said, "Your body is not a temple, it's an amusement park. Enjoy the ride."
Adventurous chef. I don't know. Julia Child.
Unfortunately, that'd be Anthony Bourdain.
Ah, okay.
Brian, 100 triathlon athletes were insured for $1 million in 2005 against possible bites from which elusive creature?
Elusive creature. All right. I'm going to guess alligators.
No, they want you to be more specific here. It'd be the Loch Ness Monster.
Huh. Holy buckets.
Mike, who wrote the autobiography of Alice B. Toklas? Hint, don't say Alice B. Toklas. It was actually her life partner.
Dang it. Gertrude Stein, it's not right.
Gertrude Stein is right.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Good pull.
Nicely done.
Wow. I don't know why I didn't think that was right. That was just the first name popped in my head. Anyway.
Brian, brocade, calico, and crepe are all types of what?
Fabric.
Fabric is a correct answer. Mike. Rapper and producer Puff Daddy is credited with discovering and cultivating all of the following artists except one. Which one is on this list that should not be there? Notorious B.I.G., Mary J. Blige, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott, or Usher?
I know Biggie.
Don't you mean No Diggity?
I do like the way he works it.
I'm going to say Missy Elliott.
Missy Misdemeanor Elliott's a correct answer.
Nicely done. Nicely.
I like how he just calmly sips the beer after answering that, like it wasn't a tough question. All right. Brian, who was the last czar of Russia?
Nicholas II.
Nicholas II is a correct answer. Mike.
Nicely done.
The remote island of Rapa Nui, home to over 1,000 Moai statues, is known by what festive English name?
Easter Island.
Easter Island is correct. I don't know why I added the E on Moai. My bad. Brian, which island city-state was ranked the world's most expensive city in 2016, the third year in a row it took home that prize?
Oh, I've got two answers. I don't know which one to go with.
I'd prefer the right one.
I'm going to go with Dubai.
No, unfortunately not. Singapore.
Was Singapore.
It was Singapore. Mike, according to a famous quote by controversial designer Coco Chanel, you should look in a mirror and do what just before leaving the house?
Look in a mirror and kiss yourself?
Oh, not a bad guess. You should look in a mirror and take one thing off. And if I do say so myself, I'm hoping it's your pants. Brian, we're going over to you. Ukraine shares land borders with two countries that start with the letter R. One is obviously Russia. What European country is the other?
Romania.
Romania is correct. I always forget how big Ukraine and Romania are.
Yep.
Emphasis on R. Mike.
Amen.
What group was formed by Luciano Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and Jose Carreras?
The Three Tenors.
The Three Tenors is correct.
It's the Three Amigos.
Brian, what are the two main ingredients that are necessary to make a screwdriver?
Vodka and orange juice.
I have metal and plastic, but I'll give you vodka and orange juice. Mike. Asking this question to you two gentlemen brings me great joy.
Oh, God.
The Yuko haircut straightening treatment is often referred to by its country of origin. What country was it?
Wait, what now?
Asking this question to you two gentlemen brings me great joy.
Oh, you're going to repeat that. Okay, good.
The Yuko haircut, Y-U-K-O. Sorry, the Yuko hair straightening treatment, Y-U-K-O. Is often referred to by its country of origin. What country did it originate in?
I have no idea, but the name sounds vaguely Japanese, and I know that when we lived in Japan, they were fascinated by my sister's curly hair, so I'm going to say Japan.
Japan is a correct answer. I take a chance to get my digs on YouTube whenever I can, and that's it. We got about 2 minutes left. Brian. Can you name the game that simulates a person's development as they age from college to retirement with jobs, marriages, and possibly children along the journey?
Yes, I can.
I give him that. I need proof that you.
The game of life.
The game of life is a correct answer.
Yes, it was a correct answer to that question.
Well, no, I needed to prove that it was the correct answer to that question.
Fair point.
Mike. At the close of World War II, which group was formed by allies to recover stolen art treasures?
Damn it. I've heard of this and I'm not pulling it. And my brain is trying to name the group that Abe Simpson was part of. So it's just not, it's not happening. So I'm just going to pass.
Brian, for no points.
Was that the Monuments Men?
It was the Monuments Men. Also, was it George Clooney and Bill Murray movie?
George Clooney, Bill Murray, John Goodman.
Flying Hellfish.
Matt Damon.
That was Abe Simpson's group. Was the Flying Hellfish. Which was not the correct answer.
That was not. No points for Mike. Brian, going over to you. In 2011, what classic 80s movie was adapted into a television series for MTV?
In 2011?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's too early for Cobra Kai. 80s movie adapted into a TV series. There were a few that, 2011. So it was 13 years ago. So
yes, thanks for making us feel old.
I'm trying to find the timeline on what that could have been or which one. Classic 80s movie. So it's not something like the Goonies. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was later. Damn, there's so many 80s movies. There's a whole bracket about them.
Several, as it turns out.
I don't think this is right, but I'm just going to throw one out there. I'm going to say Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Unfortunately, not Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. This would be the 80s classic Teen Wolf.
They made a Teen Wolf show?
There's a Teen Wolf show. It was on MTV.
Did not know that.
Today I learned.
Yeah, my brain would not have gone there. Good round, Brian.
All right. Coming out of hot seat round one, Brian, you're picking up 9 points. Mike, you're picking up 14.
Yeah, that was brutal, man.
The score currently is 19-12. Mike with a 7-point lead.
Yeah, you had a... I thought your round was way harder than mine there, Brian.
Don't blame the questions.
Nope. No. Hot seat, give it and the hot seat, take it away. It could go the other way next time.
You pulled Gertrude Stein, man.
That's impressive, Mike. Yeah.
Still have no idea where that came from. I didn't even think it was right. It was just the name that popped into my head. Anyway.
Well, we are moving on to our halftime round. The halftime round, there are four answers. They are worth 5 points apiece, so this can really flip the game. Your halftime round category is movies.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you four quotes from movies. You have to put them in order from when the movie was originally released, from earliest to latest.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Lion face. Urgh, lemon face. Ooh.
I know what that is.
Quotation number one. I hate snakes, Jock. I hate them. I hate snakes, Jock. I hate them. Movie number two. Toga, 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 toga. Movie number three. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. And movie number four. You talking to me? You talking to me? You're going to put those quotes in order based on the year the movie was originally released, starting with the earliest. Lock in when you're ready.
Damn you, man.
I'll lock in.
I am also locked in.
All right. Let's go through this one by one. Brian, give me the order that you went with.
All right.
Impressions are encouraged, by the way.
Aha. Okay. So... the first one, snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? That was easily Raiders of the Lost Ark. And that was easily, I'm 99% that that was 1981. That was, I think, the most recent of these, I think. Toga, 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 that's those damn Delta boys. And they were my, back in the 80s, they were my, they were my, like, spirit animals. You could have called me a flounder, because my grade point average in the 80s when I went to college was in the animal house range. Number three, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. That's certainly Apocalypse Now. And you talking to me? You talking to me? That was a very young Travis Bickle, a.k.a. Robert De Niro. I think the correct order was the reverse order. I think it went Taxi Driver, Apocalypse Now, Animal House, and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay, Mike, what did you say?
Very similar. We had all the same, we identified all the same movies correctly. I assumed that the You Talking to Me was not when Marty McFly does an impression of that later in Back to the Future 3, I believe it was. So I did have the same movies identified, but I did flip the middle two. So I had Taxi Driver as 76. I thought Animal House and Apocalypse Now were both 79. But after you clarified they were separate years, I thought Animal House might have been 78. So I put ultimately Taxi Driver, You Talking to Me, Toga, I Love the Smell of Napalm in the Morning, and I Hate Snakes was my order.
So really the same first and last, and you guys both kind of flipped the middle two. Is that fair?
Yep.
Correct.
So Travis Bickle, You Talking to Me was Taxi Driver. That was 1976. Raiders, you both nailed. Snakes, Jack, I Hate Them, 1981. I Love the Smell of Napalm in the Morning was 1979. Animal House was 78.
Damn. Okay.
All right, your scores coming out of halftime. Brian, you're going to pick up 10 points. Mike's picking up the full 20. It is currently 39-22. Mike has got a 17-point lead.
Mike, I'm going to need you to miss a few in the second half here.
Like I said, the hot seat giveth and the hot seat taketh away. You never know.
All right, Brian, you are currently trailing. Do you want to go first or second in hot seat round two?
Well, I don't think it's going to matter, but I'll go first this time, I guess.
All right. Your time will begin after I read your first question. Gentlemen, are we ready?
Actually, can we pause for a second? I finished my second beer.
I was going to say,
I need beer number three.
I think I need to get beer number three, too. Or number two in my case. But
you guys go ahead. I'm going to pour another drink then on my own.
All right. I'll be right back.
All right. Mike, what'd you pick up?
Oh, well, earlier statements about Jennifer Lopez notwithstanding. And I do love me Latinas, too. But I also enjoy a good blonde. And this is from Straight to Ale Brewing out of Huntsville, Alabama. This is the Blonde Herlante. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Belgian style golden ale. Mm. I also love me a good Belgian.
All right, Brian, what did you grab?
So this one, so both of the other ones were 12 ounces. This one's a 16, so this should last me a while. This is from Confluence Brewing Company out of Des Moines, Iowa. This is their German-style Doppelbock. And again, I had to get it just because of the name, because this is their Chewbacca.
That's amazing.
Right about a six-pack. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
I've been everyone's calling out the strength of their drinks. I am currently sitting my Woodford Reserve, which, by the way, is like damn near gone. This bottle's almost empty.
Yeah.
It's sitting at 90.4 proof. So,
this one's 6.8% ABV.
So I fundamentally did not realize that when I grabbed this beer, which is excellent, by the way. This is 10%, actually 9.9% alcohol by volume. I did not think it was that strong when I grabbed it. So,
I have good news for Brian. We're about to take a 10-minute break to let Mike drink a few. All right. We're going to get started with hot seat round two. Brian, reminded, you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
All right. Your time will begin, Brian, after I read your first question. Here we go. Which of these wine grapes is not used in white wine? Gamay, Riesling, Semillon, or Sylvaner?
The first one.
Gamay is a correct answer.
Well, Mike. Done. I was about to say, Brian, you should have gone second, because I have no clue.
Mike, how many bones do humans have in each ear?
Three.
Three is a correct answer. Brian, on April 11th, 1912, Francis Brown was on a pier in Ireland when he took one of the last known photos of what?
1912. That had to be a callback. This had to be the Titanic.
To be fair, I think it's the Titanic above water, but yes. Several photos of it below, but yeah, that is a correct answer. Mike, in 2010, a single violinist set a world record by playing what frenetic classical piece in just over 1 minute?
Flight of the Bumblebee.
Flight of the Bumblebee is a correct answer.
It was a total wag. Okay, I'll take it.
Uh-huh. I knew exactly what that was. God damn it.
Brian, which of the following is equal to one century? 4 score years, 5 score years, or 6 score years?
5 score.
5 score is correct. Mike, according to U.S. law, what should, quote, never be carried flat or horizontally, but always aloft and free?
The American flag?
The U.S. flag is a correct answer. Brian, name 6 of the 8 Ivy League universities.
God damn it.
You got this, Brian.
Harvard, Yale, Brown, Penn State.
Unfortunately, not. There is one in Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania.
It's so 10.
The correct answer would be Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, Columbia, Princeton, Penn, and Dartmouth.
Okay.
Mike, the phrase Midas touch refers to a Greek myth where King Midas had the power to turn everything he touched into what?
Gold.
I love gold. Gold is a correct answer.
I'm sorry, Brad. You get named 6 things and I get, what's the Midas touch? Sometimes, Brian, I get it. Sometimes things are not fair.
What sports legend's autobiography published in 1975 was titled The Greatest, My Own Story?
Arnold Palmer.
No.
Fuck.
The greatest to be Muhammad Ali.
Of course.
Mike, the 2002 edition of TV's Celebrity Boxing famously featured a bout between Tonya Harding and what other infamous person?
Oh, shit. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. I remember this too. I remember it happening, and it was, oh God, damn it. Shit. I remember this happening, but I don't remember. I just cannot remember who she was boxing. For whatever reason, the name Mary Kay Letourneau popped into my head. That's what I'm going to say.
Unfortunately, not Paula Jones.
Oh, that, damn it. Okay. Yep. That's exactly. Okay.
The only one I remember from that is the big and tall match between refrigerator Perry and the basketball player
Bugs,
Mutombo.
No,
Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah, okay. It was insane.
Muggsy Bogues would not have been in the big and tall match.
No, that's true. Brian, of these quote-unquote 50 greatest political moments listed on Politico.com, which occurred first? Gingrich storms to power, Dean's scream, or Dukakis gets tanked.
Dukakis gets tanked.
Dukakis gets tanked is a correct answer. All right, Mike, we're going over to you. In the 2015 Pulitzer winner, All the Light We Cannot See, Nazis search for the Sea of Flames. What is the Sea of Flames?
Would help if I had read this book. I know the book. I think it's actually on my want to read list on Goodreads with about 500 other things that I'm probably never going to get to. The Sea of Flames is I'm going to say it's the equivalent of the Fountain of Youth. I don't know.
Unfortunately, it's the Sea of Flames is a diamond. It's a blue diamond.
Ah, okay.
Brian, going over to you. Rick Grimes leads a group of survivors across an apocalyptic United States in what hit television show?
The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead is a correct answer.
Carl!
Mike! In 2011, what TV actor's co-star quipped that he checks gossip news every day to, quote, know if I have to go to work at all?
You repeat, please? I'm sorry.
In 2011, what TV actor's co-star quipped that he checks gossip news every day to, quote, know if I have to go to work at all? So we're looking for the actor that his co-star was talking about.
I'm just completely lost on this question. I'm not getting the reference. I'm not getting anything. I will say maybe it was a 30 Rock thing, Tina Fey, about that time frame. I don't know.
Unfortunately not. You got the time frame about right. This should be John Cryer talking about working with Charlie Sheen.
Oh, okay.
Winning.
I'm back with what you were saying. Okay, I was just...
Violent Torpedo of Death, or The Violent Torpedo of Truth, I think was the name of his comedy tour.
Tiger Blood.
Tiger Blood. Brian, should have had that instead of Dragon's Milk. Brian, we're going over to you. Alexis Ohanian and Steve Huffman are the co-founding pair of what massively popular website? It is one of the 15 most popular websites in the U.S., those names again were Alexis Ohanian and Steve Huffman.
Wikipedia?
Unfortunately not. It'd be Reddit.
Ah.
Mike, going over to you. In 1984, the NBA championship trophy was renamed to honor what legendary NBA commissioner? Not NFL, that'd be weird.
It's... shit. It's not Naismith, but that's what's coming to my head. He's the
founder. It's not. It's Larry O'Brien.
Okay. Damn it. Naismith was just stuck in my head. I couldn't get out of it.
That's right. Speaking of Brian, we're going back to Mr. Nash. By definition, a defenestrated object has been what? Want proof? Google the defenestration of Prague in 1618.
Say, is that the first or the second defenestration of Prague? Because it happened twice. when they shoved people out the window. It's my favorite word in the language.
I think the first time it was members of the clergy that did it. Like they threw like people out the window. So God bless.
Doesn't that also happen in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Maybe.
To be fair, also in Game of Thrones, if you want to think technically.
The things I do for love.
Wow.
Brian's getting the point. I'm sorry. Was that a sore subject?
Nah.
It's also the only reason I know fenêtre is the French word for window.
Actually, I guess it's not really a sore subject for Bran either because he couldn't feel it.
Oh. Chris, save us, please.
Timer is running, by the way.
Yeah, let's go.
Mike, here we go. What was the name of the Boeing B-29 Super Fortress bomber that dropped the first atomic bomb ever used in combat, hitting Hiroshima in 1945?
The Enola Happy. Excuse me, I mean the Enola Gay.
The Enola Gay is a correct answer. Brian, what racehorse won the Triple Crown in 1973?
Oh, Rowan's going to kick my ass because I don't know this one for sure. There's a couple of big names. I want to say this was Secretariat.
Secretariat is a correct answer.
Thank God.
Mike, which mid-19th century art movement focused on American landscapes and is named after a major American river?
I don't know. The Rio Grande movement.
Unfortunately, not. This would be called the Hudson River School of Art.
Ah, okay.
Brian.
More of those for him, please.
That's the second time in 2 days I've missed a Hudson question, damn it. Sorry, Learned League reference. Anyway.
Brian, Kirkland Signature is the in-house brand of what chain of stores?
And Mike's nodding his head like he knows this shit. Kirkland Signature.
He lives in Huntsville. He's got 3 stores to shop at.
I don't know. Kohl's.
Oh, unfortunately not. Mike, for no points.
It's Costco. The Kirkland Albacore tuna is excellent.
Oh, several of the Kirkland products are excellent.
They actually do have a lot.
Going back to you, in what year was the first season of the hit HBO show The Sopranos released?
Ooh. Let's see. Okay, hold on. I can figure this out. Hillary did the reference to the final episode in her campaign in 2016. Or was it 2012? Fuck. She didn't want to. It was 2012. I think it was the 2012. Or no, 20. Fuck. All right, whatever. My brain said 1999. That's what I'm going.
1999 is a correct answer.
Jesus. Why did I just shut up and let my brain do the talking? Anyway.
Brian, a Brazilian man was arrested for trying to extinguish what iconic symbol in 2016?
The Olympic torch.
Olympic torch is correct. Mike.
Nice.
What is the difference between brandy and cognac?
They have 2 different names.
I'm going to need something a little more specific.
You
know
what I'm looking for. You can't blame a guy for trying.
I can when you're up like 19 points.
I will say that the amount of time they are aged.
Unfortunately, not a bad guess, but it's not a correct answer. Cognac must come from a specific region, the Cognac region of France.
Ah, okay. Got it. It's like champagne.
Brian, I get it. What famous literary character was shipwrecked for 28 years, 2 months, and 19 days before making it home to England?
Robinson Crusoe.
As primitive as can be. That is correct. Mike. There is a brass ring embedded in the middle of 8th Street in the town of Manitowoc, Wisconsin, where what event occurred on September 6th, 1962? This will be your final question. I can read it again if you want.
I don't necessarily think it's going to help. I don't have any context. Let's see, it's Wisconsin. The cheese curd was invented. I have no idea.
Unfortunately, not. Brian, for no points, do you have any guess?
No, I'm not. I don't know this one.
1962, that is the spot where Sputnik crashed.
Oh, wow.
And while most of it burned up over the city, there was a 20-pound piece of metal that came crashing into Main Street.
No shit. Okay, I have never heard that. That's crazy.
That's not and that far away.
And my apologies to Wisconsinites for the cheese curd thing. I wasn't trying to be, I mean, I was, but still, I, you know.
That's close enough. State. I can drive to that and go look at it.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. I've never heard that story before. That's awesome.
So I've got, coming out of hot seat round 2, Brian's picking up 9, Mike is picking up 6.
It's a brutal hot seat round compared to the first one.
Okay.
Your scores as we head into the wage round. Mike has 45 points. Brian's got 31. And in the wage round, everything can change. You're going to break up your wagers in any way, shape, or form that you want. but you're wagering strictly on the categories, not the questions. So you'll get your questions. You will lock in your wagers. Sorry. You'll get your categories. You will lock in your wagers, and then we'll go through the questions. If you get the question right, you'll get the points. If you miss the question, you will lose the points. Whoever has the most points at the end of the game will be our winner. The rules are simple, though. One, you must wager whole numbers only. Two, no negative wagering. Why do I have to say it? Someone tried it once.
Dick.
What, was it me? I don't remember, but it sounds like a thing I would do.
I don't think it was you. I think it was Stephen, to be honest with you.
Actually, it does sound like a thing Stephen would do. It's a fair point.
And rule number three, you cannot have a combined wager higher than the points that you currently have accumulated. Gentlemen, are you ready for your wager categories?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Here are your categories. Your categories are populations, defunct Disney World rides, and sports. Again, populations, defunct Disney World rides, and sports. Lock in your wagers while I send it over to a word from today's sponsor.
Hey there, PTE Network listeners. Do you like fantasy sports? Pouring over stats and trash-talking your league as you take home the trophy? Do you dislike fantasy sports? Have no idea what PPR is and prefer to keep it that way? No matter how you answered those questions, this podcast is just for you. On draft days, we play fantasy sports, just without the sports. Instead of drafting athletes, we draft anything. Fictional dogs? Sure. New metal bands? Absolutely. Breakfast cereal? Why not? Everything is up for grabs as we try to build the best fantasy teams possible. The best part? I made up a bunch of rules that allow us to score points, so someone gets to walk away the winner. Listen along as my guests and I have a few drinks and have a lot of fun building fantasy teams out of whatever we feel like. Starting this February, you can join me, your old pal Jeffy Donuts, every Wednesday for new episodes of Draft Days. That's DRAUGHTDAZE. It's a pun. It's a beer pun.
All right, wagers are locked in. We are going to go question by question through this, starting off with question number one. Your category is populations. What Asian country, the country with the lowest population density in the world, with roughly 5 people per square mile, held its first democratic elections in its history back in 1990? In 2021, they held their most recent election, where they elected their 6th president ever, with their first being elected in 1992, following the parliamentary elections of 1990.
All right, I'm locked in.
I guess I will lock in.
All right, moving on to question number two, your category, defunct Disney World rides. What Epcot ride that opened in 1986 and closed in 1998 was a 3D sci-fi musical that starred Michael Jackson, was written by George Lucas, and directed by Francis Ford Coppola, who came up with the name of the ride, inspired by the Greek goddess of dawn?
I will lock in.
Oh, damn. I've got two in my head. Which one is it? Nope, I'm scratching that one out and going with locked in.
Okay, we're moving on to question number three. Your category is sports. What sometimes magical player who retired prior to the 2022 season joined Walter Payton as the only player with 2 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown, 20-plus rushing yards, and a reception in the same game?
Could you repeat that, Chris? I'm sorry.
Yep. What sometimes magical player who retired prior to the 2022 season joined Walter Payton as the only player with 2 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown, 20-plus rushing yards, and a reception all in the same game.
So they retired after the 2022 season?
They retired prior to the 2022 season.
Prior to the 2022 season. Thank you. I'll lock in.
We're going to go question by question through this. We're going to start with question number one. Your category was in populations. What Asian country, the country with the lowest population density in the world, with roughly 5 people per square mile, held its first democratic elections in the history in 1990? Brian, your answer and your wager.
Well, I only wagered 0 on this one, so I didn't have to spend a whole lot of effort on it. But I feel pretty nice that it's a large country, and 1990 sounded about right, and I'm going to go with Kazakhstan.
Mike, your answer and your wager.
Literally exact same across the board. Geography and adjacent questions are not my strong suit, so I did wager 0, but I did think large in terms of area, country, probably given the time frame, a former Soviet republic, and I also locked in with Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan, unfortunately, is not a correct answer with a Royal Navy, or a Navy that consists of one tugboat and a capital of Ulaanbaatar. This is Mongolia.
Okay.
Also a big country.
I thought of that one first, actually, but I went, no, I think there's a lot of Chinese people in Mongolia.
The time frame had me purely in Soviet Union territory, so.
Yep. Okay.
Well,
I was never getting there.
Hey, the scores don't change. We're moving into question number 2. Your category was defunct Disney World rides. Mike, your Disney love kind of stems from your wife, but it's documented. Brian, are you a big Disney World fan?
I've been there a couple of times.
Was that anywhere between 1986 and 1998?
No, I didn't get married until 2004.
Okay, well, let's see how this goes. What Epcot ride that opened in 1986 and closed in 1998 was a 3D sci-fi musical that starred Michael Jackson, was written by George Lucas, and directed by Francis Ford Coppola, who came up with the name inspired by the Greek goddess of dawn? Brian, your answer and your wager.
Of the 3 categories that we had, sports is absolutely one of my black hole not good categories. I wasn't too confident on populations, so I wagered 31 points. And when you started out with Michael Jackson, my immediate first response that I wrote down was Moonwalker. But I went, no, you're looking for a goddess of the dawn. Oh, well, that's Artemis. Wait, no, Artemis is the goddess of the moon, right? Oh, goddess of the dawn, I believe, is Aurora. So I hope to hell I'm 3 beers in at this point, and I'm hoping I'm not mixing these up, but I wrote down Aurora and locked in my full 31.
Well, Brian's hoping for Borealis here. Mike, your answer and your wager.
Dave Grohl would say, hell yeah, I remember Aurora. I did not. I would never have pulled that in a million years. I got really confused by the Greek goddess thing. But as Chris mentioned, of course, my wife, very, very into Disney, is actually a Disney travel agent. Nikki Moss, Small World, Big Fun Travel. So I got confused, but I, based on all of the rest of the hints, which included a great many things that I did not know before, the one thing I did know is Michael Jackson Disney World ride I associate with Captain EO. So that is what I locked in, and I wagered 18 points on this one.
Thick.
The Roman goddess of dawn is Aurora, Brian.
Fucking fuck.
The Greek goddess of dawn is Eos. Captain EO is a correct answer.
God damn it.
That's where that. Okay. I was so confused. I did not know that at all.
And that renders our final question moot.
A little bit.
I'm sorry.
We're going to go through it anyway because I wrote the damn question. So,
sorry.
What sometimes magical player who retired prior to the 2022 season joined Walter Payton as the only player with two passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, 20-plus rushing yards, and a reception in the same game? Brian, your answer, please.
Sometimes magical was just not getting me there. I locked in on Eli Manning, knowing that it's probably wrong because, again, sports is not my strength. But fuck it. It was a zero-pointer anyway.
Mike, your answer and your wager.
Almost the exact same thought process. So I tried to hammer on sometimes magical, and it wasn't getting me anywhere. Again, this is a 9.9% alcohol by volume beer, and I'm not a large man. And so I kind of went on a technicality because even if he was still active, he had retired at least once prior to the 2022 season. I locked in with Tom Brady.
The sometimes magical is the hint. It's sometimes magical, sometimes tragical. It'd be Fitzmagic and Fitztragic. Ryan Fitzpatrick is what we're looking for.
Yep, that tracks. Yep. Okay.
That answer didn't matter. The question didn't matter. I only had to write one final question, apparently. The other two were just useless. But, Mike, you're going to be taking home a score that's in no way indicative of how close this game was. A 63-0 win tonight, my friend. Congratulations.
It's a great game, Brian. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Anytime.
Yes, you can, because I'm taking both of these gentlemen here over to our Patreon feed, because Brian gets his chance at payback on our Patreon feed. We're going to record that next.
I'm okay with losing to Mike tonight because I beat Mike yesterday in Learned League.
I was actually wondering if you were going to bring that up.
I had to double check. It's like, wait, we played. Okay. Yeah, I did win that. Okay.
You absolutely did. Yeah. Yes, you did.
So, but if you want to support the Patreon, if you want to hear that episode, patreon.com/PTEBB is your place to do that. Check the show notes for the link. But Brian gets his chance at revenge where he'll get to pick the category we're playing in.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
It's going to be good. Let's let our panelists give one more shout out. Any local companies or causes you are particularly passionate about, now is your time to do it. Brian, starting with you.
As far as anything that y'all would care about, you know what I'm most passionate about? The World Trivia Federation.
Amen.
Jay is the hardest working woman in trivia. She is now part of the PTEBB network. Support the poor woman. She would love to get, I mean, don't do it out of, I'm do it out of the kindness of your heart, but seriously, WTF. You get so much fucking content for $2 a month. It's $24 for an entire year, and you get three trivia games per week. It's insane how hard she works at this, and it is the best. No offense to you, Chris, or Mike, and anybody else here. It's the best trivia content you can get.
I'm not arguing that. It's amazing.
Her question writing, when I grow up as a trivia writer, I want to be Jay Borsum. Seriously. Support WTF. It's fucking worth it.
I am proud to be partnering with Jay Borsum and to bring her on board here on the PTE Network for her show Verboten, which, Brian, you just hosted. The way the release schedule goes, you'll record this last, but it'll be released first. Verboten, though, is a wonderful time. Still be time, though. If you follow us on Facebook or you're on the Discord server, so Facebook is on our PTE, the Lounge, fans of the PTE Network. We're doing our Oscars tournament. You can find the notes on there, but if you win the Oscars Pick'em, I will personally, not out of the PTE Network budget, out of my own pocket, I will personally gift the winner a 1-year subscription to the WTF. So you really got nothing to lose. You can jump on to the lounge, Fans of Pub Trivia Experience, sorry, Fans of the PTE Network. Wow, branding. Right. It's all on there. Or hop on our Discord server. It's there under the movies category. But those are going to be due by the start of the Oscars, which I believe is my birthday. Damn it, Mike, I can't lose to you on my birthday.
I can't not beat you on your birthday. So we're both struggling here.
Oh, Lord. Mike, any local companies or anyone you want to give a shout out to?
First of all, I want to second everything that Brian said. I've been thinking like just how severely we underpay for the work that Jay Borsum does with the WTF. She's phenomenal. And we're so
it's $2 a month.
Her. Oh, I know. And we're so happy to also have her as a partner on the PTE network as well. And the Verboten, like every time I listen to Verboten, I'm just like, I'm in awe of her abilities as a host. I am. So I definitely want to second that. I mentioned my wife's Disney business. So I checked that box as well. And I mentioned Straight to Ale Brewing out of Huntsville. Wonderful brewery. Yellow Hammer Brewing is also great in Huntsville. And then my final thing for me is just for me personally, y'all have PTE listeners, Boozy Bractology listeners, whatever, have definitely heard our ads in the past. We were forced to rebrand the band, but I have a music project with a couple of buddies of mine from high school called the Datacorns. We are all parents of young children. One of us is also parents of an older child. They just yesterday, as of the time of recording, turned 16. So, which is crazy, but we're called the Datacorns, and then Icorn. So it's basically unicorns except dad instead of un. And then, but you can find us, datacornsmusic.bandcamp.com. You can find our stuff there. You can look up the Datacorns on basically any streaming platform. Our first EP, Sanity is Waning, is out there now. And we were actually just talking earlier today about the recording of our second EP, which we're going to be doing later this year. It's been a fun time to get some, to get an outlet for some of our musical tendencies and stuff like that. We're not professional musicians, but we have a great time. And I think we put out some pretty decent content, all things considered. So definitely check us out if you get the opportunity. And I will shut up now and finish off my Blonde Herlanti, which is just, this is an excellent beer. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, second shout out to Straight to Ale.
There you go. They said it all. So check the show notes for all of our content. Patreon.com/PTEBB is your home to support the show financially. But come hang out with us on Discord. Check our Facebook group. It's all out there. You know what? You heard enough from me tonight. For the Pub Trivia Experience, I have been Chris.
I've been Brian.
And I've been Mike.
And we'll see you next week for, dare I say it, the continued trials of Mike Mott. Until then, have a good one.